Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Yesterday, we spent considerable time here talking about this Bird Box phenomenon and Netflix numbers and the authenticity of the whole campaign and the numbers that they were offering. Jason Nathanson, the ABC News entertainment correspondent, said today that Nielsen is backing up Netflix, saying a massive amount of people watch the Sandra Bullock movie Bird Box in week one, which is it's just so timely, Jason. Welcome back to WGN, because we called BS on that and did a whole segment about it yesterday. I didn't think 45 million people could have watched Bird Box by December 28th. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. And in that original tweet, they said that 45 million people watched it. That's of their global subscribers of about 150 million. So almost a third of their subscribers, they say, watched it. And when they say watched it, they said watched 70% of it. That's what they clock as a watch, at least on Bird Box. So 70%. And I have to imagine if somebody watched 70% of it, they probably watched the whole thing.
Yeah, right.
That also doesn't count into a fact that most people, sure, a lot of people just chill and watch Netflix by themselves. A lot of people watch it with family members. They watch it with friends. A movie like Bird Box probably was watched by several people in one sitting. So yeah. I have to imagine the number is actually probably higher. But today we got numbers from Nielsen. Now, it should be said, Netflix does not release numbers on how many people watched anything. So that's why we were all surprised by when they said that 45 million people had watched it. They don't release those numbers. Nielsen and other companies have tried to track the Netflix numbers before, and they've come out with their numbers, and Netflix has said, no, that's not true. But Netflix is out today, and they're saying in the U.S., 26 million people watched it in that first week alone. And so if you're looking at 45 million globally, that's what Netflix says, 26 million in the U.S., that seems to be a number that would correlate and back up what Netflix said, because that would just they would just need another 20 million or so around the rest of the world to have watched it. So it's looking like, that, yeah, this is a massive, massive hit for Netflix.
That's still hard to believe. I mean, we're used to numbers like 10 million or 20 million watch the Super Bowl or an episode of Friends or whatever, but 26 million is about one in every 12 or 15 Americans. That's just, I didn't, so a friend of ours here at the radio station, Jason, went around and started to ask people online, in person, any way he could. And he reached 47 people. And he said, did you watch it? And about 8 of them did. I know that's anecdotal, but it just seemed to us like that's probably not. So here's the question, I guess. Why is Netflix so coy about its numbers?
Because they don't need to bow down to any kind of pressure when it comes to subscribers or when it comes to advertisers or anything like that, which is usually why we get numbers from the networks, because advertisers are involved and they want people to know how many people are watching their product so they know how to price it when it comes to ads. For Netflix, it's just subscribers, and it really doesn't matter to them to let the rest of us know how many people watch stuff, because as long as people are subscribing and subscribers are up and they're doing good business on that, those numbers are for their own internal use, and they just don't want to share it, except when they do want to share it,
yeah.
Which is when they release the Bird Box numbers. And, quite frankly, it's something that drives a lot of us in this industry crazy, because we want to know what to cover, but we also want to know what people are watching, so we know how to cover stuff, and we know what to cover, because if nobody's watching something, then with so many shows out there, there's more than 450 scripted shows on television right now. That includes Netflix and the other streaming services. We just don't have time to focus on everything. And Netflix is dropping on us sometimes up to 9 or 10 new things every week. So we need to know where to focus our stuff, where the audience is, what people are paying attention to. And when Netflix isn't giving us that information, it makes it really hard. Now, something can drop on Netflix and become a big hit, and you know it is because people are talking about it, like Fuller House or Orange is the New Black, the Kominsky Method just winning a Golden Globe for Netflix. So people are watching those things and talking about those, so we know how to cover those. But with a lot of their stuff, we have no idea how many people are actually watching.
Yeah, which makes you then suspicious of them and their methods, but the irony is the stuff they put out, the content is so good these days, both on Netflix, Amazon, etc. I mean, there's just so much terrific content out there right now.
I mean, there is, and it's overwhelming for the viewers, and that's where people like me and those in my industry come in, because we can kind of help sift through that and point out and highlight some of the stuff that might be worth your time or not worth your time. And if we don't know who's watching or how many people are watching stuff, it makes it a little tough to do that. But at the end of the day, you know, we can only watch so much, we can only review so much. So we try to keep up with it, but there's so much out there. If you feel overwhelmed at home,
yeah.
Imagine, you know, my inbox is full right now with screeners of shows I'm never going to get to.
It's funny, too, because we're so impatient. So Brenda and I plowed through The Bodyguard and loved that series, but I think it was only six about hour-long episodes, so we were able to consume that in a couple of nights. That could have been, you know, a month and a half the way TV shows used to be consumed. So now we're like, okay, we need another series to plow through. So we found The Night Watchman, I think it was called, and that was terrific, and we had that like a snack. So now we, you know, our appetite is as voracious as the content is that's coming out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and there was a time when the six episodes you mentioned of Bodyguard, that is a British model. They usually do six episodes for their series. They did that, remember, for the original Office. It was six episodes and so many other things. And there was a time where I'd be like, hey, you know, I want more. I want, because we're used to, in the U.S., on a network show, you get 22 episodes a year. Something around that.
Yeah.
And you love it. You love watching all the episodes, and you know, you really feel connected to a show when you watch so many episodes. So when you only get six, you feel a little cheated. But in this day and age, six episodes seems like that's a great number, because there's so much to watch. You can't possibly watch 22 episodes of something and keep watching, you know, 10, 15, 20 different shows. So six, I actually like six when we have just six episodes to watch these days, although you do feel a little bit cheated, because when you get to the end, you want more.
Yeah. Six, yeah. Seven, 10 is a nice number for me. 22 does seem bloated in a way. A couple of other entertainment topics that Jason Nathanson is writing and talking about, the ABC News entertainment correspondent. And another one of them is Kevin Hart. What's the status of the possibility that he'll host the Oscars?
Almost zero at this point. He talked a little bit more yesterday on his SiriusXM talk show, Straight from the Heart, and addressed the controversy again. He apologized again. He said he made it very clear he wants to apologize for his remarks that hurt the members of the LGBTQ community. He said, again, he reiterates, I apologize. But when it comes to actually doing the show, he said, I don't have time to prepare and do it correctly at this point. And the microscope, he said, on him is so thick that they're looking for everything. So anything that he says that's not appropriate, that's wrong, he says, you're going to pick me apart. So at this point, I don't think it's something that he wants to do or feels he has the time to do. So we're wondering who's going to host the Oscars at this point. It's a little over a month away, and they don't have a host, and it's looking more and more like they're not going to have a host. They might just use a lot of the famous people that are going to be in the audience to present and do little bits and things like that, and we won't have one singular host.
What did you think of Andy Samberg and Sandra Oh at the Golden Globes?
They were fine. The thing about the Golden Globes is usually we turn to that for something a little racier. If you think of the days of Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, Ricky Gervais as a host, I really liked those. And they were playing to us in the audience, those of us watching at home and watching it on the screen. Sandra Oh and Andy Samberg seemed to be playing to those in the room. So they were a lot nicer, a lot gentler. There were some funny remarks, but I like it when it gets a little racy and, you know, they skewer Hollywood a little bit. I think a lot of us at home like that. So it was a little too tame for me, and it wasn't something that necessarily popped. But the ratings were good, and I've long said you can't really base the host isn't to blame or really to take credit for the ratings. The ratings for the Golden Globes were good. They did not go down, which is a positive in this year. Because if you look at last year, the Oscars and the Grammys both lost somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 million viewers year over year. And some could say that has to do with politics, the show's getting so political. I think it has to do more with what we were just talking about, the fact that there's just so much on TV, and the way people watch TV and watch things has changed. Viewer habits have changed. So people are watching fewer and fewer things like award shows and big things like that. We've seen that in football as well. The number of people watching has gone down as well. And some could say that's political too, but I think mostly it has to do with viewing habits.
Hmm. Chris Rock, was he interested in doing the Oscars?
I don't know if he was interested or they approached him after the Kevin Hart thing or not, but he said last night, he was at the New York Film Critics Circle, he was presenting an award, and he got up there and kind of riffed, and he noticed Steve Martin in the crowd, and he said, "Oh, Steve Martin is here, you should host the Oscars, you're the best." And he said, "Because I'm not doing it, you're not getting me."
Fair enough.
So he's not going to do it. He's done it twice before, and especially in this climate when, like Kevin Hart, everything gets picked apart. It's tough for a comedian to get up there, and you don't want to say something that some people are going to take the wrong way.
Well, and so Sandra Oh and Andy Samberg went the other direction, and their shtick was how nice they were. Their cutting remarks were, you know, fantastically kind, and that was supposed to be funny, but I think that shtick got old really quick because it just wasn't funny enough. I'm not pining for the days of Ricky Gervais, but you mentioned his name. And remember how awful he was and how scandalously funny and fun it was. But I don't know that we have an appetite for that right now either. You know, I don't know what tone a presenter should take.
You're right, and that's why nobody wants to do it, because they don't know either. We're in a different climate. We're in a different day and age right now where Ricky Gervais could not host a show because it would just every single thing he said would get picked apart. And but you also have to remember that just because a lot of people say something on Twitter doesn't mean a lot of people are really actually mad about it. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure on people right now when there's a lot of Twitter comments, or, you know, it seems like there's a mob after somebody. Sometimes there really isn't. So, you know, you're right. It's a different climate in this day and age.
Yeah.
And that makes
it
very tough for anybody to want to take on the task of hosting a show like that.
All right. So we'll see what happens with the Oscars. Maybe it won't have a host, but just some sort of hybrid of people getting up there and presenting. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Jason Nathanson, ABC Entertainment reporter. Thanks for some of your time today.
Sure thing. Take care.